Hey there, welcome to League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. My name is Shanaz. I'm here with Brooksy. We haven't done an episode for a little while, but we are back somewhat bigger and better than ever. Brooksy, it's great to see you on the other end of this COVID line.
Yeah, it's been a long time between beverages, Shanaz.
For some.
Since we've been doing this. What's been happening? What have you done in the last, let's say it was 6 weeks?
What have I been doing?
What have you been up to?
Yeah. I've been working, I've been living, I've been going to football games.
Yeah.
I've been living, baby. Going to football games, playing some music, just what I kind of do, you know.
How big has the living been? Small, medium, or large?
Ah, small, unfortunately.
Small living?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to go small.
Yeah. How have you been?
I've been living medium.
I don't believe that for a second.
Trips down the coast to see the folks.
Mm-hmm.
friends had a week down at Jarrell with my mates from school.
Yep.
We're 20 years out of school, pretty much. What was it, 99?
Okay.
So 21, Shanaz. We had our reunion last year. So 21 this year. So we usually do a week away. We've gone north and we've headed south the last 2 years. Did Berry last year and Jarrell this year. So,
very good.
It's always good to catch up with the old schoolmates. But, yeah, great weather. It's been great. Hence the living medium.
It has turned. I've got to say, spring is not doing great things for my hay fever. It's literally like clockwork. You know, it's September 1. Here we go. Aren't you?
Yeah, the Telfast shares go up every September, don't they?
Now, Brooksy,
yeah.
Today, whatever the date is, yeah. I'm not sure, it's been 20 years.
15th
of September. 20 years since the Olympic Games in our hometown of Sydney. Oh. What about that?
Yes. That was an amazing fortnight or whatever it was. I couldn't tell you.
Month?
Yeah, it was about a month. It felt like a year, but it was great. Wasn't it good, Shanaz? How old were you?
I was 20 years younger than what I am now. I was out of high school.
disclosing ages.
No, I wasn't very old. I've got to say, people were nice for that month. Do you remember how nice people were?
Everyone was, yeah. It was great. It was a great time to be alive, a great time to be 18 years old, which is what I was.
Right.
And, hence why I can't really remember whether it was 2 weeks or a month. It was, I remember, Shanaz, I was working at Big W down at Warringah Mall and was saving my pennies, like, albeit I was still going out pretty much every Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was saving my pennies and saved my annual leave up so I could go large for 3 weeks during the Olympics.
And let's talk a little bit leading up to it. How old, do you remember the announcement? Obviously, you know the
when
announcement.
When was, yeah.
Was it 95-ish, I want to say?
Yeah, it would have been around that. I was definitely, I remember being young, like really young, and the winner is Sydney, Australia.
Was it announced in the middle of the night? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was over at the, it wouldn't have been over at the IOC headquarters in Zurich or Vienna or, you know, that part of the European continent.
Now, were you surprised that we actually got it?
I don't know. I'm not a massive Olympian buff, although having worked on the Olympics 1 year.
More than me.
I don't think I was, didn't win any medals, unfortunately. I don't remember the process, but I remember it was out of us and China, maybe like Beijing. And I remember there was a bit of slander in the media. I think there was some dodginess from the Chinese.
Oh,
who would have thought? Shanaz. I think they weren't playing a clean bid. But we got there. Who was the premier at the time?
Was it John Fay? Is that what we were talking about? Was he the premier?
Yeah, was it John Fay the premier?
Or was he just the Olympic guy? I can't remember. But
I don't know.
Unfortunately, he passed away this week.
He did. Yeah.
Which is kind of eerie, I guess.
It is.
He was such a focal
iconic
point.
Figure.
Yeah.
Doing that massive jump out of his chair.
That was great. That is iconic, that jump.
Do you reckon he knew? Do you reckon he was like, he's just ready to launch? Or that was like a,
that body language is surprise. It's sheer surprise. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's got that far out of a seat since. Like, I think I jumped up, I remember, for a Dragons game. And remember ANZ, the chairs flipped right back up and I fell down.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a Matt Cooper line break that got me out of my chair and unfortunately onto the pavement underneath the chair straight after trying to sit back down. But, yeah, it was a great leap and it was a great time, the bid and then the Olympics. Mm. Yeah, it just I think it was just a my dad who worked, he was working as a, funnily enough, a lifeguard at the Olympics.
Is that right?
Enjoyed it, got all the merch, got all the paraphernalia.
Wait, crazy hold up.
Ken Doan like shirts.
Hold up.
Yeah.
A lifeguard what, at the swimming event or something? What are
you talking
about?
Yeah, he was at the swimming and the diving. He was there just in case, you know. It was a Greg Louganis like event where someone hit the board or...
That's unbelievable.
You know, who knows? But yeah, he was there. I think he got on TV a couple of times. I'd have to go back through the archives. But
that's huge, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, old Chris was... he had all the kit and stuff. I remember him wearing it, like leaving at night. Like,
remember the volunteers? Hey, go on, watch some diving. Remember all the volunteers? They'd wear their kit proudly. And they'd wear it after the event too, like... They'd have little reunions years later that all wear their volunteer outfits.
Oh, it was like a Ed Hardy shirt of 2000, Schnaz. Like people were wearing them with pride. Whether if they were on shifts, off shifts, like they were just, you know, they were just loving wearing it.
And, yeah, good on.
I've seen like people in parties, like fancy dress parties since. Like they're hot commodities, those shirts. But yeah, I remember going with a mate. I only went to one event. I got tickets to the baseball, and I think it was like South Africa v the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And me and my mates had beer dispensing helmets because we were going to so many 18s that year, and we'd built like got a plastic fireman's helmet from Big W, and then got some of the pipe from one of those Cooper's homebrew kits. Couple of hose parts, and Bob's your uncle. We had a little a valve for the at the end of it for the sipping part, and we were there, and people were getting photos with us. It was ridiculous. We're wearing blue Bond singlets, like you couldn't get more like Bogan if you tried. But it was awesome. It was so good. We were just sitting in the sun, just sipping back. The weather was really good.
Yeah.
It was we were sort of blessed with really good weather
I
for that time of year.
I was trying to think if I went to an event or not, and I definitely did. And it was a football match at the SFS, and it was someone pretty big. Like, I think it was, you know, Italy Italy versus Germany or something kind of cool. I should remember, but I can't. But it was full house. And quite the event. I had a lot of fun. Aside from that, one of my memories of the Olympics is I was recording, believe it or not, what would become my debut musical album. It took, you know, a few years to do for some strange reason. But and the guy engineering it, really great guy, he said to me, oh, okay, so we're going pretty good. We got to stop for the next month because I'm going out every night to an event for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, are you working? You're doing sound or whatever or doing functions? He's like, no, me and my lady, we're just going out every night. We've got a ticket to a sporting event for the next month.
Oh, well.
And I was like, well, you're really stalling my music career here, but good on you. And that's one of my memories of the Olympics was my album had to go on hold because this guy had to go out every night to experience this thing, which is obviously once or twice in a lifetime, you'd think. But good times. I remember everyone was very nice on the streets in the middle of the night. You're partying. Everyone was nice. Yeah. There was no badness. And everyone was friendly to each other no matter what color, race, religion, etc. Yeah. So back in kinder times, Brooksy.
Yeah, it was like it's just some of the memories have been coming back. Like I remember the Darling Harbour was like the hub of the nightlife with all the little bars and restaurants just as pop-up like nightclubs, and there was like the Moose Bar, which was Canada. There was the Heineken tent for the Dutch. There was I think what's it called? Far out. I've forgotten what it is. Pontoon. That was like pretty massive back then. That was where the Americans were, I think.
Now, are you talking athletes or just punters?
Yeah, it was like some of the athletes were down there, like letting loose afterwards, and like whether their games were or their events were completed, or like I'm pretty certain I was watching. I think it was Lithuania, Australia, and America in the basketball.
Classic.
And Lithuania had a really good squad, and they took America to the death. And I was in the Moose Bar in the Canadian part of Darling Harbour, and I was watching this game with this other guy, and we were talking about it. And the guy was about my height. I'm 6'1". And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to this guy, and I watched a bit of the basketball on TV that year, and I was like, I recognized him but didn't know his name. And then I was thinking about it later. It was I'm like 99% sure it was Steve Nash.
Really?
And I was like bantering with him about the America Lithuania game. Like, I'd had about 1,000 schooners. I think I had 500 of them, like, in the Moose Bar, and we were there drinking beers, watching this iconic game of a Sydney Olympics basketball tournament.
Now, since then, you've become even more of a basketball genius, king of knowledge about everything to do with b-ball. In hindsight now, looking back, do you think it was him? Because you know Steve Nash now.
Like closer to that time it was, but you know when you're sort of, it's like 20 years now, it's sort of like the memories are foggy. But I was adamant at the time and shortly after that it was Steve Nash. And I was, but I was just,
I mean, the internet,
like, I didn't
was
ask
around,
him.
The internet was around then, Brooks. You didn't just go Google him?
I remember seeing him afterwards. Like, I think it was in the NBA, and you know when you sort of see stars and you recognize them in the street, and then there was a few like close-ups of him in the next season, and I was like, "It's him! It's him!" It's
okay.
So like, I had that memory, but like, yeah, like I said,
that's
a
pretty
lot
cool.
Of schooners
like,
were had.
Given the fact that you love basketball so much, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a memory that I don't think about all the time, but it sort of comes back when talking about the Sydney Olympics. And I don't know how long ago the last time I thought about it was, but yeah, it was a pretty funny moment. And like in hindsight, just going, oh, I could have said so much to him. I probably said so much to him. I just don't know. But
is there a chance that you're partying too hard and you just imagined it all? Imagining
there is a chance, and that's the 1% that I'm allowing for in this this prediction. But yeah, I definitely like I'm like I feel certain that it was him, and I just wish I said more things to him.
Now,
but yeah, it was a funny moment.
We got out of the Olympics a new stadium precinct. Yeah. Some arenas.
We got to play in it before everyone else in 99.
We did.
Manly and Newcastle. Didn't they open it?
I don't know.
The Dragons and Para?
You put me on notice here. Sorry. I think I was at that double
Question
hobby,
without notice. Biggest
but,
crowd.
There was a giant crowd of like 108,000 or something.
Yeah, with those weird, remember the wings?
I remember the wings.
God, I don't know. Like it's. I think it's good that they covered them up, like sealed it off to add a bit of atmosphere. But these things were like, were like launching pads for Nitro Circus or something. You think of, and they had and then in the Olympics they had that. That was where the torch was. Remember, it went up one of the wings, the northern wing or something.
So on the torch, Brooksy.
Yeah,
I'm not sure when it was in time. I'm sure one of our listeners can let us know, but. The torch went across Australia, right? People had a relay, like celebrities mostly. I think punters could join in every now and then. Guess who ran the local part of the local branch of where I'm from in the Sutherland Shire? Have a guess who it was.
ET.
Yes, it was.
He probably tried to hook up with the torch's wife as well, Schnaz. No. Look. I'm no, just come joking.
On. Come on.
I'm just joking. Shire legend, fishing buff, Andrew Ettinghausen.
It was exciting.
Yeah.
Because of how great ET was, not because it was the Olympic flame. Yeah. Any other memories?
You could imagine him like, you know, the right arm would be going like his running style, like holding the ball.
Yeah.
Step, did he, was he fake palming people like with the
I got a feeling he would have done it once or twice.
Yeah.
Brooksy, before we move on to the NRL, is there any more you would like to say about the Olympics, memories, moments, anything else?
I think my favourite memories were we won, I think it was our best ever Olympics. It was a gold rush for Australia.
It was.
We did really well. I just remember we killed it in the pool. Kathy, obviously.
Oh.
Who else won golds for us that year?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you who should have won a gold, and that is the band.
Thorpey.
Thorpey would have won a million. The band Midnight Oil, for their political stance, dedicated to our Indigenous people of this great country. I thought that was remarkable, the attire and the song that they chose to play. But anyway, that's just my little rant on politics for now, Brooksy. There might be more later on. Let's move on to the NRL.
Yeah, good. NRL. I found some gold medalists.
You did, okay.
I was going to go through a few. Susie O'Neill won the 200 free.
Our Susie.
We had the 4x200 men's. Is that where we smashed the guitars?
I don't know.
Gary Hall Jr. Had a go at the boys, and they started doing the guitar thing.
Okay.
I think that might have been it. Grant Hackett won the 1500.
Classic.
After taking, Grant Hackett. He's a podcast in itself. Ian Thorpe. We had Michael Diamond won the shooting.
Yeah, the shooting. That's right. That became a national pastime. Shooting. Great stuff.
The Madison. Remember that site? Everyone was like, are engrossed in the Madison cycling, the two man. It was like a relay sort of thing with heaps of teams on the track.
This is where I gently start walking backwards in the room away from everyone.
I remember everyone was all,
you know, cycling. Hey, come on, man.
It was because I remember Madison Avenue was a huge hit back in 1999 with Don't Call Me Baby.
It was,
and then the Madison team dominated 2000. It was all, everything was coming up Madison
and
late 90s, early 2000s.
Don't forget, all of our hearts broke for the lady who went from a walker to a runner in the space of 1 second.
Oh, what was her name again?
I don't know.
Saville?
Yeah.
Jane Saville?
Yeah, yeah.
She got the silver.
Heartbreaking stuff, Brooks.
Yeah, and we had Simon Fairweather, he was pretty good. Now we see Sian's Nicol Klokstad emulate Simon in his post-try celebrations, which is a great throwback. We had Tatiana Grigorieva got silver in the pole vault, jumping Jai Taurima in the long jump. Perkins got the silver in the we went gold silver,
Kieran,
in the 1500. But yeah, you go through the names. The Woody's got a silver in the doubles.
Good on them.
Yeah, there's so many little the Coxless pairs.
Excuse me.
Got bronze, and it's a good little reminisce if you go onto that Wikipedia page of Australia at the 2000 Summer Olympics. There you go. There's my source.
20 years ago.
But let's go. Let's jump. 20 years.
Please.
Sorry, mate. Took you on a bit of a Let's go to 15th of September, 2020. What round are we in, Schnaz? Round 19.
Entering 19, yeah.
Can you believe we got here?
Not really, no. Given what we thought might happen in society and sickness, I can't believe we got here.
No massive breaches. We had Tevita Pangai.
We had,
is that the only real one that we've had?
We had Nathan Cleary whining and dining ladies every night of the week.
Oh, yeah. But that was during like the hot period. But like since we've been up and running.
Sure, yeah.
I was like, I was pretty pessimistic. I thought there'd be people on like have 2 or 3 week injuries. That like, he's done a Cinders Moses or whatever, Mitchell Moses or whatever it's called. And he'll be out 2 to 3 weeks. But it looks like we've gone through pretty unscathed. But now we're here. There's no stopping us now.
Wouldn't have thought so.
We're 2 weeks from finals. The top eight's locked in.
It is. How does it feel, Brooksy, to how does it feel to miss out again on the finals?
Huh. Getting used to it, Chaz. I'm an old Steelers fan. You gotta remember that when you ask those sort of questions. We were very much down the bottom of the ladder, so we're used to it. The Dragons fans, however, they expect greatness every year. So the St. George half of the merger, they're already baying for Dean Young's blood because he's talked about going to the Cowboys.
I like the way he
gets the job.
I like the way he's handling himself. I really do. I think that his press conferences are really honest and revealing, and I think good on him. If he's not going to be looked after at the club he's been at for 100,000 million years, then good on him. Go somewhere else.
I like how he's got the Jurgen Klopp look with the hat and the beard, and like Jurgen's got the hat and the glasses. And
well, he's good role model.
I don't know. Yeah, and I with the Griffin signing, it's interesting, and hopefully you can tap a bit of the junior base that we've got going forward, not needing to pay overs for some positions, which is what we've done over the past few years to build up that roster. So yeah, like it's sad to miss the final, Schnaz. Getting used to it, but it's only been 2 years, right? We made it in 2018. We had a pretty good run there. Yeah, we knocked off the Bronx.
That's right, wasn't that your favorite game ever? You made some declaration.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it was so good. It was my first NRL game up at Suncorp as a fan. Like I'd done the NRLW game before, and then sat sideline with Hannah and Andy Raymond, and it was just good. It was great.
Were you high fiving Hannah?
I was just giggling. Like I was just like, this is ridiculous. Yeah, sort of. There was a bit of like, low fives and stuff because there were so many Broncos fans behind me. Oh, and I didn't want to alienate them.
They're a mean, they're a mean bunch, the Broncos fans. Hello to all our Broncos fans, by the way.
Well, like, should we talk about like with the eight set?
Yeah, so let's talk about the
teams that didn't make the eight, or should we? What do you want to do, Shaz?
Let's start with the top eight very briefly because we're going to concentrate on them in the future. But let's do a very, fast enough kind of top eight talk.
Yep.
Pretty much pretenders, contenders, as which we've done in the past.
Yep.
And I've got the ladder in front of me, Brooksy.
Oh, look at you, prepping.
Panthers.
That's awesome. Well done. Panthers. You know what? I've got it too.
Contenders.
they win this week. They clinch a minor premiership. They're third. And as we know, Schnaz, the last two, they went on to win.
Sure did.
The premiership, the grand final, the big cheese, the Super Bowl. It's exciting times, isn't it?
I'll start with the negatives. Here's my concerns.
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like they've had not the hardest run into the finals.
Yep.
Now, I say that with complete respect because they're absolutely annihilating everyone that they come into contact with. Like they're brilliant. They're great to watch. They're fun. They're young. It's a wonderful ride they're on. I wonder what happens though when they play the Chooks or the Storm. Are they going to be ready for it? Because those two teams, which we'll get to, are in a groove now that they're very familiar with, and they're very hard teams to beat at any time of the year, let alone finals. Like the Storm and the Roosters, the last 10 years they've been in a whole bunch of grand finals themselves. So that's my concern with Penrith. But it's probably the only negative I can find. Like, what else can you say? They're absolutely destroying people.
I know, that's the thing. I thought about it. They've been rolling through teams, like absolutely rolling through them. Like Parramatta was the one that we were looking ahead last week. And we were going to go, all right, this is where the streak probably, may take a turn for the worst.
Mm.
They were so good. Like the Paras' defense was very good, but Penrith was so good at controlling that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember from the first time they played their only loss this season, and it was built on Parramatta's strength in the middle and controlling that battle. But Parramatta have lost so much of that in the last few months.
Yeah.
But the Panthers looked really good. I think Cleary can really control The back end of sets. That was something I think he struggled with in previous seasons. This year, he's just taken it to another level.
Oh,
It's like
remarkable. Remarkable.
what the Storm have done in previous years, and the Roosters to a certain extent with when they had Kiri and Kronk as their halves in the Premiership years. But they just really knew if they weren't going to get a try out of a situation, they were going to get a repeat set. If they weren't going to get a repeat set, they're pinning that team on the line. They're not making any errors. They're just really, if you're going to get the ball, you're getting it on the one.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get 99 metres down the field to win this field position. And the Panthers have been really good at that, Schnaz, and they did it really well last week.
Quick question. Week three, say they win week one. Week three, are they playing somewhere neutral or not in this Philanders era we're living in?
Oh, I think it might be Penrith. I'm not too sure. I don't know. I'm not too sure about venues. They've been really going week to week on stuff, or not week to week, but every 2 weeks announcing venues and
I
stuff.
I just wonder how they're going to handle that, because if they move it to ANZ, I mean, it's not Bankwest, ANZ. It's not much of a change for them. I'm just wondering. You do take them out of that comfort zone a little bit, though. But look, they're in the. It's theirs to lose in a strange way, given the role they're on. And they're going to be top two, probably first. So
they're definitely top two, Schnaz. They've got they're 7 points. Top they're 7 points ahead. They win this week. They're minor premiers.
Yeah.
They're
going to. We're going to assume they're going to win one of the two games. So it's there for them to lose. So definite contenders. Sorry, that was a bit too long. Melbourne Storm for me, Brooksy. massive contenders coming home really nicely. We think it might be Cam Smith last year. We're not sure. And guys coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Humming along really, really nicely. And even their backup guys have gone pretty good as well. I think they're going to be there on grand final day.
Yeah. I think it really depends. Like, Panthers are likely to play either the Eels or the Raiders, you'd think, 1v4. That's all going to come down to how. If the Eels can hold on and win their last two games with the Raiders only 2 points behind, but they've got a better for and against. So if the Raiders win out and the Eels drop one, it's likely that the Raiders will go through to fourth. That's interesting. I think Eels is great. Panthers, you know, I think they can take care of the Eels week one, but the Raiders might be a different kettle of fish. That could be an interesting one for people that might see the Raiders as a bit of an outsider. They'd probably prefer to go that path than go through to third and go against the Storm. So I think Raiders could be a good, nice, cheeky bet right now to get through to the grand final. Good odds, because if they knock over the Panthers, they'll have a home final down in Canberra. And who knows what's going to happen with crowds. And, you know, the ACT government might be like, oh, well, like, we've had a really good week. Let's get 15,000 people in that stadium or 10,000 people in that stadium for 1 week, you know,
one
because
week
the
only,
grand final won't be there.
Yeah.
Might be a one-night-only performance.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ACT government might do it because they want their team in the grand final. So, who knows? That's a bit of a conspiracy theory. But, yeah, Raiders, I like. Like I said, they were probably a 1B-tier team. Mm. But if they can get through the Panthers – undefeated, leading into the finals, a lot of pressure. Raiders, pretty physical team.
All right. Now,
could throw something to them. The thing with the Panthers too, Shaz, I just want to go through their experience in terms of premierships and finals experience is a bit low.
This
like
is
you've
what,
got Tamo and Coruscant
as
grand final
well.
Winners.
I was kind of hinting at that as well, yeah.
But, yeah, they're – I guess you could say some of their stars that have played so well this year aren't proven in the finals. And that's something that they're going to have to, you know, step up another level to play these. Well, imagine if they have Raiders and then they have the Rabbitohs and then they have a Storm or Roosters. That's a tough run.
A large part of me, Brooksy, thinks that that's really, really important, like experience and being, you know. But there's a part of me that sort of shrugs and goes, you know what? These kids are so brash and, more importantly, so talented that it just may not matter this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure every game that's been played, it doesn't matter. The young beats the old, I'm sure, you know, every now and then. So I don't
– Yeah.
I'm not overly concerned. I think it is a factor, but it's just how they handle it, obviously. What What do you?
It's going to come down to how banged up the Storm, Roosters, Raiders are
sure.
when they do play in the prelims and the GF, right?
Good point.
Like if Corner continues to have issues, Keary continues to have issues, Sonny Bill's just playing like 15, 20 minutes still. Like, I'm sure he'll be up and about by oh, is Sonny Bill actually playing finals?
I think he's allowed to. Yeah, he's allowed to.
Well, so, you know, these guys that have had injuries along the way, and we're seeing like the Knights rested Ponga and a couple of other players on the weekend. Like, if they're kind of going banged up and they have some tough games, like that Storm Roosters game, week one, you can imagine that being pretty fiery. They've had some big games already this year.
Yeah.
And they'll want to go at it again. So, now,
you mentioned the Roosters just now. On one of our last episodes, you pretty much told me they were going to get the wooden spoon, and they didn't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And they're coming home very strong. I really like the look of them. I feel like they can go all the way. I feel like they probably will go all the way, is my little bold prediction. Not that bold. Not that bold. But what are your thoughts on the Roosters now?
Oh, definitely they've improved since we last chat. And they were in a period where there was a lot of injuries and – you know, there was the Sonny Bill chat. Is he fit? Is he gonna provide enough for them, particularly with players being out? Will he be good fill for Cordner if Cordner's not fit? We've seen Sonny play in the middle, but yeah, the other guys that have come, the backs is where it's at, right? You know, it's like you got Teddy firing. Huh. I had some brilliant individual performances over the last month. You've had Keary and Flanagan in particular, who's played well since coming back into the side after being dropped. So yeah, Robbo has a long-term plan, and you can tell that it's all coming back at the right time. And I was probably a little foolish to think that they might not get there. But my theory is still like three straight years of grand finals. Can they get through a tough final series? Like, they got to win week one, Shanaz, I think. Like, okay. I think by the time, if they lose to the Storm, right, up at the Sunny Coast or wherever they're going to play that game, probably, you know, it'll probably be Suncorp, right? Then they're likely to have, you know, the Rabbitohs or the Knights, which is another fight, probably another fiery game.
Could be the
Sharks. And then they'll play the Panthers. So, like, if they're going to play three games, they're going to, it could be Sharks. But yeah, like I think they're going to be in a position where playing three finals games is going to be really tough. And the load of 18 and 19 on top of that is going to be really for them to go three straight. But yeah, if they can win that first game and rest up, God, they're going to be in a nice position.
The Parramatta Eels are treading water very badly. And are we putting a line through them? Are we saying no? Let's see what happens in the finals. What are we doing?
Oh, like off the current form, Shanaz, you would, wouldn't you? I don't think they get in the top four in the last 2 weeks if they keep playing the way they are.
Yeah.
There was some highlights during the Panthers' loss, but
they were pretty good losing team. I was impressed with the defense and the first half in particular. They handled themselves pretty well. Penrith are on that roll where they can win the game whenever they needed to, and they did that. But I thought Parramatta had improved a lot. The problem for them is they've lost, you know, the games that they probably shouldn't have, and a few injuries there now as well. So now's not the time where you want to be going down. You want to be going up. So unless there is some miraculous comeback, they might have to wait another year, but I'm not going to put a line completely through them. They've had a really good season, but I don't think at the moment they're even close to the other top three teams we're talking about.
They're going to have to finish fourth, Shanaz.
Yeah.
They can't be fifth and expect to win after what's happened. We've seen teams in the past just fade at the end of the season after hot starts and then just get bounced in the finals. Like, you need the momentum. You need, like, it's funny because, you know, we're talking Penrith and it's like some people are like, oh, it'd be good if they lost one leading in, you know, just because they can feel that sort of.
What are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't agree.
Yeah.
You just take it as I get the old adage, so one game at a time. Doesn't matter if you've won the last one or won the last 13.
Yeah.
You just keep winning. It doesn't
Because
matter if you've
really
lost or it.
it's only going to matter if they lose week three or the grand final.
Yeah, I think if you lose one, it sort of puts doubts in your head as to your performance and where you actually sit. If you keep winning, like I guess the feeling of, you know, confidence and stuff, like, you know, and pride in your team,
yeah,
I think outweighs the fact of having a tripping up for 1 week.
Do you think?
You
it
know,
was,
I don't think there's much
do you
benefit
think it
of
was
tripping up. Right?
An old crabby media personality that came up with the term. Oh, you got to lose
but
one, but, you know.
Like, it's a take. It's probably an unpopular take. You know, like I think that's it. Like,
because
yeah,
the way you described it was just so, in all honesty, very intelligent. Whereas then you have someone go, no, it's good for him to lose one. I look at the Sharks in 2016. You know, they lost one or two or three, and they came back. Well, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But the way Penrith are going now, shorter season, we're almost there at the finals. You probably don't want to lose one now.
I think it's a fan take. It's like, I'd prefer to lose one because I know it's all going to come down some. So it would be interesting to hear from Penrith fans, like what they would want. And I reckon you might hear a few Penrith fans go, "Oh, it would be good to lose one or rest a few players in the last few games." Like they sort of want to mix it up.
That's
they
a different story. Resting players is a different story that I can go along with.
No, not necessarily. Like I think.
No, I think that's a good thing. This, like, I don't have a problem with resting someone, but the notion of trying to lose, not try to lose, but losing a game and being okay with it, that's a different story.
I think young guys would not like to rest during this period. I think they just want to keep playing the hand and letting it ride and go, look, we're confident enough. I think the worst thing to do with a team like Penrith is to rest players because they are riding a wave of success.
I'm talking 1, 2, 3. I'm not talking like a whole bunch.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying that that could be detrimental with a team that the Panthers are putting out each week. I think, like, barring injuries and suspensions, you've got to, right? But if you're just mixing it up for the sake of it because you might get an injury in the last 2 weeks, I don't know. I think Ivan and Trent and Peter Wallace and whoever makes the decisions with the team there have just got to go, we put the best 17 out for the next 4 weeks and we're gonna create some history here, and in a year that's been shit ass for everyone.
Mm.
Like I remember speaking to some Penrith people where the Lees Club was like totally shut down. That would be the biggest hub for that area in terms of economics and whatnot.
Yeah.
And for that, to hear that story in March and to see this club now doing what they're doing, I think it's like, we just got to keep rolling and ride our hand.
Oh, look, their draw is not too bad. They've got Cowboys and who? Someone else who's winnable, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, definitely. Is it? No, I can't remember. I think it's. Wait, who are you? Wait, found it. It is the Bulldogs.
There you go. So winnable.
So
games.
Yeah, they're definitely winnable games.
So
but yeah,
we spoke a bit about the Raiders. Why don't we, Brooksy? Yeah. Why don't we come back to the bottom four of the eight in the next episode? Let's jump down
good,
to
mate.
Dudes that have missed out. So in ninth place, and we're going to say they're going to stay there forevermore, West Tigers. Give me a pro and give me a con about their season.
The pro is Harry Grant. The con is he's going back to Melbourne. No.
I think that brutal.
Outlines the Tigers, right?
Brutal.
Like that deal, like, and the Storm have just seen them coming a mile away. This has been a great opportunity to give Harry to have a look at Harry, right,
yeah,
and see what sort of a player he was. They wouldn't have been able to do this. No Sunny Coast Falcons, no East Tigers. So they've gone, you guys want a hooker? Are Jacob Little's injured? You're not sure about Josh Reynolds as your nine? Billy Walters is a bit of a utility. Have Harry for a seat. We'll take Paul Momorowski. We need an outside back. And they've got a good, 18 games out of Harry, or not 18, probably 15 games out of Harry because he had a bit of an injury setback with his knee.
He's been remarkable.
But the Storm now have a great idea about who he is. And Paul Momorowski is going to come back, and they've already got Joey Leilua, and Adam Dewey's been great, and Ofoluma's had an amazing season.
Yeah.
They're looking to get Adokar from the Storm.
Yeah, maybe Tanaa as well from the Panthers.
Who knows what deal that could what could unfold there, because I think the Storm are looking at a lot, like some similar like-for-like person to come back so they can release Adokar early.
His name's Harry Grant.
Yeah, I remember they were cheering, Harry, Harry, and like that game against the Broncos, I think it was, where he absolutely tore them apart.
I don't always fall for these, you know, media-friendly, next big thing players, but Harry is the real deal, and I'm a big fan of watching him play. I love the way he plays, and you totally got it right, pros and cons right there. I think for me, a bit of
the... Nofaluma was a good one, he's a great player. And Luciano Leilua, they've been great. Great players this year. Luch coming from the Drags, he's obviously done well.
Nofaluma, I would love to see. I would love to see him. And if you're a Tigers fan, turn off right now. But I would love to see him play for a Melbourne Storm or someone. He would be. I mean, he's already leading the try scoring, but he would be in rep teams and he would be spoken of a lot higher because he's a really good player. Obviously, a good finisher as well. I gotta say, I'm not convinced about Maguire's reign there. I think he's a good coach, and I think he's got it in him, obviously. We've seen him do it, but it just doesn't seem to click his aggressive way of coaching with that club.
Yeah. I think he's got to know that when he made the decision to coach the Tigers, that there was a few interesting deals there and a few, I guess, the squad as well. It was a bit of this and a bit of that. There wasn't really much across the board. He's tried to bring the best out of some of those enigmas, I guess. Like, I think Luke Brooks has shown a little bit, but...
Yeah.
Man, talking about someone that had massive hype and stuff, we look back on his career. Ugh. I don't think he's played finals football yet, Schnaz. And he's it feels like he's a 10-year veteran. And I remember when we were first talking, starting this podcast, we talked about the Tigers board having Teddy, Moses, Brooks and Woods all coming off contract the same year, and they ended up with Luke Brooks.
Yeah.
And that has had a ripple effect in terms of where the Tigers are now. Like, you see Teddy going on to win premierships at the Roosters and basically get the title of the world's best player. Yeah. Mitch Moses having an amazing 2019 last year. He's been down a bit this year. Probably the injury has played a part in that. And then even like Aaron Woods has had a all right career at the Dogs and Cronulla. Like, he hasn't been the player that he's been touted.
He's not in the big four. No. Financially wise.
No, I'm not saying that that's a massive loss, but to have like the four up and coming stars all off contract on the same year, like, I guess the board's complicit in this situation that Madge's had to had to try and dig out, like, not another ninth, Madge, not another, and they're there again. Like,
that's my issue for all the big talk, and we're going to get them going and bring through some other kids, and we're going to sign some players. It's like, you're still in ninth.
They're the epitome of the average team, because they keep falling in the average part of the table. And, like, there's teams in the US, there's theories in the US, it's like, you'd rather bust. Obviously, we don't have the draft, but the Tigers may as well just clean out and start again. And not miss out on signing the juniors like Adokar and Papenhuyzen and Teddy and all these guys that they've lost along the way.
Papenhuyzen.
Like, they've got to like, give these young guys a run before a team like the Roosters in Melbourne, like, and the teams that have, like, snafu'd these guys.
The
like
legend, the legend has it that Papenhuyzen was offered to all the clubs from Melbourne. And everyone said no, including the West Tigers, who knew what he was about.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Like, I just don't – I think – and, look, this is a podcast in itself, Schnaz, talking about the West Tigers. But 7 wins, 11 losses. They've had some close wins. They've had some close losses.
Mm.
And I think you know, you look at that gap now of 6 points, like they were there, thereabouts.
Mm.
They're back to the drawing board again. And it's, should we re-sign Benji? Should we let him go? There's talk of letting him go. So the Tigers fans are like, let's start a petition to get Benji back for 2021. It's like, what do you want? Honestly, like he's a great player, but do you want change? Do you want a new era? Or do you want to just keep doing the same thing over and over again?
Wise words. It's tough, man. Wise words.
And then you got the Seagulls, and then you look at the teams, it's Seagulls, Warriors, and Titans, man. Like that.
So,
all three teams, I think, under the circumstances, should probably be. I don't want to say Manly happy, but the way the Warriors and the Titans have finished.
So let's look at those three teams. Manly, quite obviously affected by injury, and it is an excuse. It doesn't mean that. As a fan, you can be okay with it. Like, maybe they need to look into managing guys better. Maybe they need to look at players who aren't as injured. I don't know. But the fact is, with one particular player in mind, but injuries generally have cost them a top eight spot, they would have been pretty competitive. So I don't think that there's any huge dramas at Manly.
I think that we've seen the last 3 years, Schnaz, it's one player. It's Tommy Trbojevic. If he's healthy, they're a top eight side. If he's not, they're not a top eight side. The record, the records just show how influential he is on that team. We've seen games earlier in the year. I remember the Bulldogs one in particular, where he just absolutely controlled that game.
Yeah.
So and there's a highlight reel of Manly fullbacks doing like stuff throughout the season where they've given up tries or knocked the ball on in crucial times.
Well, he's hard to replace.
He's so important to that team.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is hard. He is very hard to replace. But they've stacked they've stacked a lot of money in him, in Jake, in Dally. So if anything happens to those players, and as we've seen the last few years, their depth is very thin.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you can't be happy about it, but it's just it's a fact. That's what's going to happen. So
Fanua Blake's been injured. He's been in and out of the side. We've seen Joel Thompson. Curtis Sirenin's been playing through injuries.
Tafua's out.
We've had
last
Dylan
month.
Walker.
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries. Moses Sully
was out for the season. I think for them to be, you know, where they are, it's good in a sense with the players that they've had on the field.
Yeah,
but probably not good leading into the season, thinking that they could, you know, they had a surprising 2019. They probably wanted to build on that even more and have a full season with Tommy. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened.
Now, Brooksy, don't freak out, but we're going to accelerate just a little bit. So Warriors, we all agree.
Yes.
The people, like you're a member, the people's team. Member 213398-8. That's you.
Yep.
Everyone loves them. Well, I don't know if I love them, but I like them, the Warriors. Well done to them. I saw them play on the weekend. They were very good. They can only improve on what's happened. Depending on what happens next year, hopefully they get to go home. But who knows what's going to happen? We just don't know.
Yeah.
It's just speculation. But they're going to have a new coach. They're going to have a new football genius guy behind them. The old Buddy Garrity.
The Brown and Gould era.
Yeah, Buddy Garrity's making a comeback.
Coach Taylor and Buddy Garrity going over to New Zealand.
So I think that over the next few years at least, there should be some improvement there. And hopefully they can get them back to where they belong. The Warriors belong in a healthy position on our ladder. We all sort of think that. The Titans, for me, I don't want to go off too early, Brooks, but I feel like the Titans could be a very much improved prospect next year. The coach is starting to really lay his mark on the team. We've seen guys like AJ improve under him. We've seen Fogarty, who's going to stop the rain? Like, who's going to stop Fogarty? Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. He's on about a $3 contract. And he's the captain. I think that's wonderful. And they've obviously bought some high-profile forwards as well. So I think they're going to be, and it's probably a very obvious statement, but they'll be a very much improved team.
Yeah, they've been good, man. Like, and it's I think you touched on it with Brimson. Like, I think when he came into the team after he had like a fracture in his back or something earlier in the year, so he didn't play much at the start of the year. As soon as he came in and solidified that fullback spot, Schnaz, you have to. I don't know. I've done quite a few Titans games, and
me too.
His defense is amazing at fullback. Like, you see the amount of ground he covers, and he puts his body on the line and gets into really good positions. Like, this is the thing. You look at Matt Dufty, and his attack's really good, but he won't put himself in a position in defense. Like, if they get through the line, the Dragons' defensive line, there's a good chance you're going to score. AJ is a totally different story. Mm. Once you get through the Titans' back line, you've still got one of their best defenders to contend with. And that's where if you watch in the next few weeks, I want you to have a look at Brimson when the other team makes a line break, or, you know, they stopped so many tries on the line, and it's because Brimson's involved.
I think you've forgotten.
He gets into position.
What I do for a living, Brooks.
Yeah, I know. And I just want you to, this is just an added duty to your job.
No, it's not. Few weeks. It's my duty. Guys like Tyrone Peachy have improved under the new coach, playing a more traditional position for him. And I do think that when the next season rolls around, as long as they're all in good health, I think they're going to have a decent squad. Like, they won't be – well, they're not easy beats now, but they won't be the easy beats that they were, that's for sure. We move on to a very famous club in the 13th position. That is the mighty St. George Illawarra Dragons, Steelers. They have a new coach for next year, and that will be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. You even just look at the ladder, Shaz, and you see the teams around us. Like, the Titans have one more win, but we've got 100 odd points, better points difference than them. Like, we have lost some close games. Like, our game against you guys was massive. Mm-hmm. We lost that. We lost the Cowboys. We lost to the Titans. We nearly lost to the Broncos. We've had a really good run to finish the season. And that's the thing for me, that we didn't show any top eight credentials in those last 5 weeks.
Right.
We should have beaten them all those teams. I think we should have beaten the Sharkies at the time. I think you guys had some injuries and you just got a lot more out of those players. We had Paul Vaughan suspended. Oh, yeah, there's a COVID breach.
Yeah.
We had Paul Bennett. Vaughan for 2 weeks and he got done for a crusher tackle. Yep, Wayne Bennett.
Yeah.
We had stars there.
What are you trying to tell
me? No, I'm saying that they massively underachieved. Okay. And even with the coaching change, the players didn't really step up. Like, they had an opportunity to step up and show
they're pretty good what for Mary's last game. That was interesting.
Against Para, but we've seen Para's
No, but they actually played they played really good.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And I just don't think their finals material this year. They have the roster to play finals, but I think the mentality there has been it's been below average.
You're losing Tyson Frizzell.
Yep.
Your captain. And probably, is he your best player? Probably is.
I think Cameron McInnes is our best player from what he provides. But yeah, he's definitely top three. Let's put it.
What's happening next year? Just young guys coming through or?
Well, we haven't signed anyone for next year, Schnaz.
Ramsey.
There's been a few resources. Yeah, well, I think there has been a rumored trade that Manly will get Jason Saab and the Dragons will get back Reuben Garry.
Oh, Brooks.
So
dreams come true.
Which is great, because he probably wouldn't have got a run over the last 2 years at the Dragons and Manly like the Harry Grant thing.
Why would Manly do that?
I think, well, there's just, he might want to go back to the South Coast, mate. He grew up down there, so who knows? Who knows? And
can I ask you a controversial question?
Yeah. You and Aitken's going to the Warriors?
Good for him. How do you feel about the DeBellin signing?
Mate, I don't know what to say.
Serious
that.
Question.
I don't like it.
Right.
This has dragged on way too long. They've supported him. I don't think he should, like, he's training with them and stuff. And this
Did they sign him because someone else wanted him?
Well, Brownie wanted to take him to the Warriors. And I remember listening before Nathan Brown got the job at the Warriors on Triple M on Saturdays when I was heading into work. I'd listen to the show. Brownie was on it.
Yeah.
He was saying that Bellin is the best player at the Dragons and they need to do everything they can to re-sign him.
Right.
And so when Brownie got the job, there was, and it probably did come from those conversations on Triple M, there was interest in the Warriors going after Jack DeBellin.
Okay.
It was to via Nathan Brown.
Yeah.
So the thing for me is this situation has played out way too long. It's affected two seasons, two below average seasons. There's rumors that, that some of the players and wives and stuff have not been happy with the situation, the amount of support that he's got in terms of what has happened.
Rumors your captain has left because of it.
Yeah, exactly. So
how does it work again?
Absolutely derailed us.
Serious question. How does it work? His contract, we'll just make up a date, ends October 31. He signed a new deal. Does that mean just November 1 kicks in? It's got nothing to do with his court case or whatever.
For 2021, yeah.
Interesting.
And I don't know. Very interesting. I don't know what the deal is with the specifics of it. Like, does it and is it backdated or what? Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever happens there, but
it's a real tricky one. That one.
And it's just rolled and rolled. I'm like, it has played a part in the. In the performance today, you can't say it hasn't. And this is the thing. It's just like this, I don't know, even if, like the situation itself, if you take away the legal side of things, do we want, you gotta be careful here, do we want that sort of a person at the club? Mm. We thought if he's found not guilty of the charges, he's still...
Something's
doing
happened.
This stuff as the leader of the club.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's what gets me. That's what really gets me. Mm-hmm. And the amount of time and effort that's gone into helping him. But we're obliged to do it as someone that works for the Dragons, like that is employed by the Dragons. Mm. Like they have some sort of community responsibility in terms of looking after him as much as they can until the case plays out. Mm. But it's just dragged on so long, Schnaz, and it is just, it even for the most careful people in terms of the situation, and I'm trying to be as careful as possible.
Yeah.
It's just very frustrating that people are putting thousands of dollars of memberships into these seasons and having this elephant in the room every season.
Yeah.
Like it's
not coming
tough.
Soon, right? It's like the end of next year. Is it the case or?
It's hard. I think it's halfway through next
halfway.
Year.
Okay.
Memory.
All right. I didn't mean to bring you down, but I just had to address it.
No. But that's not even considering the thoughts and stuff of the girl that's going through this situation. It's a totally different topic. I'm just talking about the club and and what they're going through. I'm trying to keep
you've done very well. No one would think anything less of you, Brooksy, for that answer, I promise.
It's nearly 2 years, Schnaz. It's like far out.
Yeah, well, that's the legal system, my friend. Now we're gonna move on because I gotta move on and you gotta move on too. You got a busy day ahead of you. Cowboys in 14th, a strange one, somewhat affected by injury because Morgan's been out for the majority of the year and he's their best player. They signed my boy Val. He was out for a while. He's only just starting to click now, only now. And they've had a turnover in coaches. They've got a new one coming in Toddy Payton.
Yeah.
And possibly Dean Young, you told me, might be going up there.
Yeah, possibly.
But... I guess some positives for them is they've had some young guys come through who look like decent first graders, but they've only won 4 games all year. That's pretty strange for the Cowboys.
I think the Dragons ended a quite a long losing streak. They changed green, put Hannah in. They were still losing games. They just won that in Golden Point too, Schnaz. So there's not much to. The Cowboys. They've struggled obviously with injuries, like you said. There's a few young guys that are coming through that have potential. I don't think Jake Clifford's really worked out. Hopefully he can have a good off season, work with Morgan.
Yeah.
I know what they're going to do with. They've got a few positional situations. They've got Drinkwater. They've got.
He's Hunter, good. I think it's a positive. Drinkwater. Very good.
Hamaso, Tabuai, Fido, who played a bit of fullback. They've got Morgs, obviously, got Clifford. So they've got five guys in three spine positions they can put, I guess.
I think
there's one too many there.
I think you got to go Val fullback, Drinkwater six, Morgan seven, or switch the halves around. But that's your three.
Yeah, so Clifford's odd man out there.
I think so, yeah.
And that's the tough thing. They've got Dejan Arce, who debuted this year, that's meant to be pretty good,
yeah.
At the six. And, yeah, I think they've got to build a pack around Taumalolo.
Gavin Cooper's retiring. Playing his last game next week.
He hasn't really played that much this year. He's had a bit of a disappointing season, in and out of the squad. But yeah, they need to build that pack up again, like when they had Tamo and Scott and Taumalolo and Cooper, and they just had that pack in the premiership years. And so it's going to be tough for him.
I was thinking about how sad it is. Not sad. How disappointing is that their stadium hasn't seen too much glory this year, this brand new, brilliant stadium. Not to mention the crowds can't go anyway, small crowds, but
I think we brought that stadium up in any podcast we did.
Yeah.
Like for ages. And you love it. It's just been like, oh, this is disappointing.
and speaking of disappointing.
Yeah, they're not even the worst team in Queensland.
So we've got a battle for the spoon here, and we all know where we want it to go. But in 15th place, the very disappointing Brisbane Broncos. Is there any positives there? I don't think. Maybe Katoni Staggs is the only positive I can find.
Staggs.
The halfback's all right too, yeah.
Tommy Dearden.
Yeah.
Dearden and Staggs. It's like they've got a little forest farm happening. Yeah, and there's a few young guys coming through that we've had a look at. Patrick Carrigan seems all right. I can't believe they made him captain. it's just that's a scenario. Darius Boyd will be wrapping up his career. It's been one of the most interesting testimonial years a player has seen.
I'll say this: he's very
year, their he, final year.
He's very upfront in the media about things. Like they'll do an interview with him. He's pretty matter of fact. He's not hiding from anything.
Yeah, and
I was pretty disappointed with the whole coaching situation, the way that it was handled, to a degree, the way he handled it early on, particularly the way it ended up and the whole the rumors. And I mean, how many messages did you get that day about the hot rumor? My phone was going bonkers just from people, and I know people should know better and they don't, but I'm not having a go at anyone there who's listening and knows me and who sent me the message, but you read the message and you go, what is this rubbish? Like, and I felt really bad for him, and I hope that he does pursue the legal side of things. I hope that whoever is responsible for this gets found out and punished. Like, it's a crime. It's absolutely a crime. So I felt for him in the end. I don't think he did himself too many favors leading up to it, but as in the year or two there, but it's going to be an interesting one to watch next year, the Broncos. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Still don't know who their coach is going to be. No. I think they're the one team, right? That we're still waiting to see. Like Barrett's going to the Dogs.
Yeah,
we've seen a few of the hirings of the interim coaches. Well, yeah, pretty much. They're the only ones. So big job on the hands of the next coach, whether it's Greeny, Kevy.
I think it's down to two. No, I think it's down to two. I think it's down to Kevy and Greeny with the offering of maybe Wayne Bennett to look over their shoulder, maybe.
Yeah, there's a CEO job up for grabs as well. Who knows who'll get that?
Our mate might get it, Benny.
Yeah, he may not. But, Broncos, whoa.
Yeah, okay.
They're frothing for March 2021. And the Doggies, two wins, one against the Dragons. They nearly got their third win against the Dragons too, if it wasn't for Montoya dropping the ball.
But, they've gone slightly better than that ladder would suggest. Not too much better, but slightly better. They've been in a lot of games. And It's going to be an uphill battle for your boyfriend Trent next year, but I think they will improve under him. But they have so many board issues going on right now. Like, it's just chaos there. Of course, the Anderson family's involved. Don't get me started on that one. But
your boyfriend, your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, never. Never was, never will be. But the playing roster there is, it is what it is.
You telling me Lachlan Lewis isn't one of the top halfbacks in the NRL?
So I look at Lockie, and as you know, I look at all these people very closely, and Lockie, he's got the Josh Reynolds about him in that he tries really, really hard. He's a good defender, but there's not much else going on, and he's their first grader, you know, their first grade halfback, their playmaker. So I don't know. It's going to be a slow rebuild, I think. But they're not an embarrassment. I'll say that. They're not an embarrassment. As a playing roster.
Without naming any names, there's plenty of players there that have had an opportunity to solidify their spot for 2021, and they just haven't. They just haven't performed. Yeah. I feel that there's a lot of one-dimensional players there.
But say, let's take young Nick Meaney out of the whole 17. Let's pick on
him. He's been
Nick.
Good.
That's what I mean. He could probably hold his place next year for a while. So I don't think it's been a disaster in the fact that all 17 guys are going to go. But even if you look at Josh Jackson, he's just really below par this year. And I understand how that happens. I do. But
it's tough. He's been there playing his 200th game with the Dogs this week.
Yeah.
He has been there through the good times and the bad times. There's been clubs that have gone after him, and he's stayed loyal. And that's a good thing about the Dogs. You get some of those senior players will stay loyal and not go to France and go to rugby. But like you said, no names. Blake Green signing.
Well, I mean, that
contract.
That's good.
Kotrick was a big signing.
Yeah, I mean, Kotrick will help, but he's on like $1 million. Not quite, but you know, he's a little big. A big paycheck. Blake Green's coming on one leg.
Do you think, about the Dogs, right? Like, they've signed Nick. It's a good money, and he's been a great player for Canberra.
Yeah, but unless he plays somewhere, relevant, he's just going to be on the wing, right?
Yeah, he's just going to get those cross kicks from Lockie Lewis. Like,
you know what? I look at guys like Dallin.
Yeah,
even like Hopewadi, and I'm not knocking them because they're good players and they're not trying. But I look at them and go, "You guys are so much better than this."
Yeah,
particularly Dallin this year, he's been way down, and so I think that they need a lot of help in recruitment. I really do. I mean, obviously the foreign deal is now. It's over, right? Like, it's the end of the... just things like that. Like, just stop doing things like that. And just be real... And I'm not knocking foreign. I love foreign. But I can't offer him more than 1 year at a decent amount of money.
But this is the tough thing with the Blake Green thing, right, Schnaz? After the foreign contract, it's like, okay, we need someone who's got durability, that can be there to form a combination with someone. And they get Green, and now he's out until probably round 18 next year.
Well,
he's out. Like, who knows? Who knows how long he's going to be out for? Like, it's going to be
hard. But that was just unfortunate, right? That was unfortunate.
I know it is, but Blake Green's been around. Like, he's probably not.
It's a good point.
Durable.
Yeah.
Position. I saw some rumor about Chad Townsend being on the radar for the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
If they can get someone to partner him in the halves, like we've seen he's done well with Sean this year in spurts and stuff where they've actually dominated games together, which is great and which is a reason why you guys are in the eight. He's had a bit of an up and down year, but he'd be great. Great addition, a player like that, just to start and then allow them to develop some combinations and go for them. Because you see, like the halves, it's been Marshall King, Lewis, there's been Jack Cogger in there, there's been four in every second game.
But see, even the signing of Jack Cogger, and again, I'm not picking on people, and I know he's not on much money, but it's like, why would you do it? And if they tell me depth, I'd be like, well, there's got to be someone else who can do it.
Yeah. They've chopped and changed fullback as well with Hopper and Dallin and,
well, I
and
think
Jake Avarillo was in the halves last week.
Steve Georgiou, I think, had a vastly different opinion to what Dean Pay had, because he's pretty much doing the opposite in a lot of situations as far as picking the team each week. So, it's been a disappointing year for him. But
onwards and upwards, hopefully, being in 16th.
Yeah, the only way is up, baby. Now, Brooksy, you had planned on doing a vast NFL preview. Is there a way you can condense it?
Well, yeah, why not? Let's have a look at some of the scores, Schnatz, shall we? Just fly through.
Well, you can just tell me.
Vikings.
Yeah.
Went down in an absolute shootout.
Yeah.
What happened there? Defense wasn't on the agenda in the preseason, or?
Well, they weren't allowed to touch each other because of COVID. Not allowed to tackle, not allowed to do anything. And that's the way they played.
It was the other 31 teams, mate.
Aaron Rodgers schooled them. They have a very young
A-A-Rod.
A very young set of corners and safeties, and they were found out early on. So that's going to be a work in progress. Also, Hunter, one of the great DBs they have, is out for the first 3 weeks, so they were missing him. So it was going to be a challenge. I didn't think it'd be that big a challenge, but pretty disappointing. And they play – who do they play this week? Maybe Indianapolis?
Yeah, right.
So there's no easy games for them this year, the Vikings. And, I was pretty disappointed, young man, at about 3:15 a.m. After they had actually scored first. Dalvin went over after a good drive and – it was all downhill from then. So it pretty much ruined my whole Monday, and my Monday was very long. Started at 3 a.m.
Yeah. You spoke of Indy. They went down to Jacksonville, who were meant to be tanking, 27-20. The Phil Rivers era, what a great start to the Phil Rivers era in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Whoa, that was tough. I had them and Green Bay in a multi, and that killed me. LA opened their new stadium with a 20-17 win over Dallas.
Good game.
Malcolm Brown, 2 rushing touchdowns. Yeah, it was all right to watch. Zeke got in a couple of times. He was good for fantasy. Seattle, my boys, 38-25 away to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, mate, you have a look at his stats.
Mm-hmm.
He was something like, wait, what was it? He had, he was 31 of 34 for 322 yards and 4 passing touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
Like, it was pretty much his best ever completion rate in a game.
Yeah, right.
He's my MVP candidate, Schnaz.
Really?
I think the Seahawks, he's got DK Metcalf's going to have a huge year. Tyler Lockett, he's just solid. He just catches everything that's thrown at him. They're just ready. They're just ready this year, mate. We lost Clowney to the Titans, unfortunately. He just wanted too much money, but I think we've worked it out. We were a bit banged up last year. Carson, he was decent. He caught 2 of the 4 touchdowns. I think we got New England this week, Sunday Night Football, I think it is, Schnaz. So we'll get to see Cam Newton and the new England Patriots.
And they look pretty good too.
Come to the Pacific Northwest. Yeah, they look pretty good. It was a lot of rushing, from a New England quarterback.
I think it was the most.
They're like, what is this rushing game you speak of?
The most in a long, long time.
Yeah. We saw Arizona upset San Francisco 24-20.
Yeah,
DeAndre Hopkins looks so good.
They look good, Arizona.
What do you think? What did you think of that trade, the David Johnson for DeAndre Hopkins trade, running back for a wide receiver?
Interesting.
When you got Deshaun Watson as your QB, like, you'd think you would want to arm him with an amazing top 5 wide receiver, but no. Will Fuller, Randall Cobb, and Kenny Stills is all we need.
Kenny Stills, one of the great fantasy finds, Kenny Stills.
Yeah. Baltimore spanked the Browns 38-6. The Browns just...
Come on, man. What is going on,
Jesus.
Man? Every year, Brooksy. We're back. This is it. This is Brown Nation.
Yes. Baker Mayfield's our savior. No, he is not.
My friends...
Lamar Jackson. Huge game.
My shark friends, Gary and Chad, not happy Not happy Cleveland, guys.
Well, they should do a podcast called The Brownout or something and just talk about the Browns' losses each week.
Oh,
Vegas knocked off Carolina.
Yeah, my boy Teddy.
30.
My boy Teddy.
Josh Jacobs. Yeah, Josh Jacobs with 3 touchdowns. McCaffrey had 2. He's looking good again as a fantasy option.
I'll say this, Brooks. I'll say this. It's been a good, aside from my team getting absolutely, killed, it's been a really good first week. And the quality's been good given the fact they really can't train.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing I haven't enjoyed so far in watching a lot of the games is the no crowd, because NFL is very much driven by crowd, even as far as gameplay goes. But that's what we're dealing with, and that's fine, so we move on. But it was noticeable in a few of the games where maybe it was the TV production, maybe it was just the arena, the stadium, but didn't handle it that well. And even at Minnesota, Aaron Rodgers got the Vikings defense to go early, which is unheard of in that stadium for the opposing quarterback. So that's how quiet
it was. Do you think we're going to see some high scoring games? Albeit like the one that's on right now, Titans Broncos. Mm. But you just look at the scores. Like, we've read some of them out already. It's 43-34, 38-25, 34-30, 38-6.
I think there's a lot of preseason about it, Brooksy. I think quality's a lot better. But in preseason, your defense isn't doing that much. And I think it's going to take them, well, some teams, not all teams, but the majority, I would think it would take 2 to 3 weeks to get into that grind of defending, particularly if you're out in the field for longer than you want to be, like in the few games that I watched. Like, they just haven't done it much at all. They've had walkthrough practices. They've had Zoom practices. They've had coaches teaching them how to defend via video links. So it's unheard of. And I think it will take, at least 2 weeks, at least 2 to 3 weeks to really get in the grind for the majority of defenses, I would think, as unfortunate as that is. But
I'm going to be betting overs. I'm going overs all season, Schnaz.
Yeah,
okay. Going the overs. Anything that has a sniff of 50 points, I'm going over.
All right. Speaking,
and yeah, that. Speaking yes, of having a sniff.
No, definitely not. Speaking of over, this podcast is over. And
Schnaz, it's been good.
I'll see you later. No, thank you very much.
Sounds good. Ziggy,
for bringing back the, what are we calling it? The Olympic life.
The Olympic life.
Sydney 2000 Olympic life.
The millennium life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y2K.
Remember that New Year's Eve where everyone was like standing around just waiting for everything to turn off? Everyone was like, oh, at least I've got my Tamagotchi. That won't shut down or whatever it was that we were all talking about in 1999.
I think that rumor was started on Facebook, wasn't it?
Oh, was Facebook around in 90? It would have been MySpace.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, pretty much.
Buddy Tom from MySpace, he friended you.
Yeah.
He was your first friend, and then he was your first enemy now, trying to shut down them.
He sold that for a lot of money, right?
Oh, he got it. I wonder what he's doing now.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, he's got a house in Malibu, just chilling, watching the dolphins.
I would think so.
Chilling. He would be. He'd be probably 3 bongs deep by now, I reckon, today.
Wish I was. All right, Brooksy. Now, I will talk to you again very shortly. We've still got to go through the bottom of the top 8, which is going to be
bottom
a lot of fun.
Top 8.
And we've got to preview the finals coming up as well. So a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And we will we'll do that as soon as we physically can. And I will see you later, my friend.
Moses, and bye for now.